Hello and welcome to the Rigore podcast, the show where the chat is always as precise and powerful as a Daniel Maldini free kick. I'm Giancarlo Rinaldi and I'm joined as always by my cousin Marco, who's been relaxing for the last few days after Venezia's glorious victory on Friday night. How are you, Marco?
Yeah, it's good. It's that's how the weekend. I prefer my football weekends. Get it out the way before the weekend starts, and then it's able to relax for the rest of the week.
Saves a lot of anxiety. We're recording this on after the Inter-Napoli game, but I mean, just to touch upon a bit of big breaking Fiorentina news that, you know, one of these ones is slightly awkward because we don't know. We're recording on Sunday night and it's an evolving situation. But Fiorentina's game called off because Joe Baroni, the general manager at Fiorentina, took ill, believed he had a heart attack before kickoff of the game with Atalanta. And so the game's been postponed. So there'll be no Fiorentina chat from me. I just wanted to take the opportunity really to, well, as I say, it's an odd one because it could be, the situation could change before people hear the podcast, but it was a big shock to Fiorentina. I think just the thing especially for Fiorentina is coming in March, there's sort of echoes of Davide Astori and being at an away game, this happening in the build-up to the match. Obviously different situation with a Baroni much older sporting director or general manager, whatever title you want to give him, but just as I say, we're hoping, as we record it anyway, hoping that there's good news at the end of this. I believe he's critical but stable in hospital, and it does kind of put football into a bit of context. You know, we chat and we get very passionate about our football, and it's right that we do, but there are bigger things, and as I say, we're just hoping that when we next record a pod, we'll have happy news, a good outcome from that, fingers crossed, and prayers with him. But moving on to more sporting matters, just as I say, just the conclusion of Inter-Napoli tonight. I mean, I think we were saying before we kicked off, not the greatest game in the world, but an exciting last 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't the most exciting game, but Napoli's late goal made it a bit exciting, together with what I thought was some interesting decisions by the referee towards the end. I mean, obviously players towards the end are going to throw themselves about and things like that. But yeah, the ref, to me, seemed to make a couple of big mistakes as well in that. But, you know, it made for an exciting end, as you say.
It did. I thought it was a bit potentially the last roller of the champions kind of thing, you know, the outgoing champions, Napoli. It's not been a great defence of their title, but I think they wanted to put on a bit of a show. I think there have been some positive signs finally under Calzona. And, you know, an Inter maybe a bit of a hangover from the Euro. I mean, I think what made it good was Inter clearly didn't want to draw the game. They wanted to win despite having a huge advantage in Serie A. But so, as you say, it was quite a tight and cagey game really in a lot of ways until the last 15 minutes. And the ref kind of played his part. I thought it was like one of these, a bit like some of the games midweek in Europe where you got referees that were just letting everything go. Mm-hmm. And they did miss a lot, but it did also make for quite an exciting showdown. I'm sure Interisti listening will be feeling a bit aggrieved because it did look like the ball maybe didn't go out for the corner, which resulted in old boy Juan Jesus scoring the equaliser. But, I mean, I don't think it's not going to be too painful. A draw, rather, for Inter, because given, although Milan did win, Juve could only manage a dull draw with Genoa as well. So, you know, it's not really harmed their title chances at all. So I'm sure it's onward and upwards to the title despite that. And nice for Napoli maybe to get one decent result against the champions that are going to take their place. So that was quite nice for them. They're obviously, you know, steady ships. I think, although I saw Simone Inzaghi, possibly some chat of his contract talks maybe disappearing over the horizon a little after the European setbacks. But where there have been changes, as anticipated on the Rigori podcast, the headbutting manager was shown the door at Lecce. Not very excitingly, Luca Gotti brought in to replace him, but he got the job done this weekend. Got a win over Salernitana, which is hardly a great calling card, I suppose, but it was an important 3 points. But the other one, the more interesting one probably, is the situation at Lazio, where, you know, we didn't have time to, it hadn't happened last week when we spoke, but Sarri throwing in the towel. There's an interim manager in charge, and looks like Igor Tudor is going to take over at Lazio. I mean, what went wrong for Sarri, Marco, and is Tudor the man to sort it out?
I don't know. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because he got Lazio into second place last year and everything. But at the same time, I never really thought of them as a great team or anything. And Sarri is one of these managers that can get his teams playing good football, but it never quite seems to do it. Never wins over the fans a lot of the time. And I think with Lazio, he's just been, you know, I don't think it's a great squad at Lazio. And after they went out of Europe, they arguably didn't have that much to play for this season. So, you know, he is a funny coach because he's obviously a very good coach, but he's also got very strong opinions about things, but also never quite seems to win what he needs to when he's there.
He's a grumpy old so-and-so, I think. And also, I think he just made a rod for his back with his work at Napoli, really, because that team was so good. I think he set the bar so high in terms of the football they played there that everyone that's hired them has wanted them to do another Napoli. And in fairness to him, he's won trophies. You know, I mean, he pointed out he won the last Scudetto for Juve. He did well. They've got honours at Chelsea as well. But, you know, it's not been enough. And, you know, a different set of circumstances, I would argue, at Lazio, because I don't think anyone would expect them to win the title. As you see, a second place was outstanding. But maybe he was a bit undone by his own philosophy, really, that they were only good enough to focus on one thing. And I mean, I find it quite interesting that at the weekend here, having got rid of Sarri, that here's a stat for you, that Tati Castellanos has scored as many goals in his one match under Martuccello as he did in all his Serie A games under Sarri. He scored 2 goals in the defeat of Frosinone. That doubled his tally for the season. And it also means that 75% of his Serie A goals have come against Frosinone. So I don't know. I mean, I watched him and I thought, why on earth have they signed him every time I've seen him play? But maybe he's going to cut loose. Maybe Sarri was holding him back. I don't know. Or maybe just like playing Frosinone. I'm not sure. Yeah. But it's an interesting one. I mean, they've still, you know, that battle we've said before, the kind of the fight for kind of fourth, fifth place, which could be Champions League, is very exciting. Roma won again at the weekend. Obviously, Fiorentina's game was postponed. Bologna look a very strong bet to get the fourth place, but you've got Napoli still in the hunt as well. There's a whole lot of teams, a whole bunch of teams there that could potentially get into Europe. And Lazio might be one, as I say, whether Tudor is the man to deliver that.
I'd be astonished if they got in the Champions League.
Yeah, I don't think it's Champions League, you know, but a European place, I guess, would be something that they could, as I say. If it went down to fifth, then I guess it wouldn't be impossible. No, you're right, a European spot does look out of bounds. And as you mentioned, the Champions League, Marco, let's cast an eye back to what went on midweek. I mean, Napoli, I think, was widely expected to go out. Inter, a fair bit less so. I was disappointed with Inter, and well, the fact that they went out, because I did think that they had a squad that could have gone and, you know, repeated at least what they did last season and got to the final. But I felt the timing of the goal they conceded was crucial in that game. They had got ahead and yeah, then they to conceded.
It's never good to immediately concede a goal at that point.
And a bit of a fluky goal, mm-hmm. I think, really. I mean, a decent finish, but, you know, it kind of fell at his feet, really. And then, obviously, playing Atletico in Madrid, the atmosphere in that stadium was incredible. But I just, as I say, I thought maybe, I don't know if they overestimated their own quality. I don't know. They looked confident, which is a good thing. But were they too confident in the last 15, 20 minutes? I don't know.
No, well, funny, I actually thought that they did. You're right. They did look confident. And as they got towards the end of the game, I think they thought, well, we've got this wrapped up, which I think they were fair to think, because they had limited yes, Atletico's yeah. chances to that
yeah,
point.
They did.
I think if you want to criticise them, I think that they maybe did in that second half sit back a bit too much. The Inter are so dangerous going forward that I think they could maybe have done that a bit more.
Yeah,
and put Atletico under more pressure that way. And I think, you know, it's one of these things that I just think they've just hit a slight bump in their form at the very wrong time of the season, unfortunately, because I agree with you. I think they are, you know, it gives people like Steve McManaman the opportunity to wang on about how Serie A, being leaders of Serie A, means nothing, etc. But I don't think that's what it does reflect, to be honest. I think Inter still are one of the best teams in Europe, but they just hit that form at the wrong time. And Atletico are always a tricky team to get past. So, yeah, it was a combination of luck and I think some poor choices didn't help them.
It did bring in, though, one of my favourite pieces of commentary when the ball was headed away as far as Dumfries. That's always a little moment that I enjoyed in the Champions League. But there was better news in the rest of Europe, since I'm not going to get a Fiorentina game to chat about, that they proudly thumped their way past Maccabi Haifa. In true Fiorentina fashion, having a lead from the first leg, they scored a goal, should have been comfortable, but conceded one late on to make it a sweat for the last 5 minutes. But they are now through to play Victoria Pilsen in the last, which, interestingly, is a big game for Scottish football fans. Don't know if you're aware of this, Mark.
No. But
Fiorentina, because they're playing a team from the Czech Republic, I think the Czech Republic are currently 11th in the UEFA ranking. Scotland stands in 10th place. So Celtic in particular, should they happen to win the Premier League, could do with Fiorentina beating Pilsen home and away, because it would knock them out, first of all. It would stop the Czech Republic's coefficient going up anyway. So, and it would also, I think, get that 10th spot is the cut-off point for automatic admission to the group stage or whatever the new thing will be in Europe. So it's a big game for Scottish football, as it turns out. Even I think in the way that the effect it will have on other teams, I think Rangers, because of their own coefficient, would go in anyway if they win it. But I think it, one way or another, it could be a big game for Scottish football, that one. Annoying, I think, to see two Italian teams drawing against each other in the Europa with Roma playing Milan, or is it a good thing because they're guaranteed a team in the semi-final?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you've summed it up. There's pros and cons to it, aren't there? But I mean, I think, you know, it would be nice to have had like three teams in the semis or whatever if you could do that. But as you say, it guarantees a team in the semi-finals, so that's not a bad thing. And I think that'll be quite a good tie, because I think Roma, obviously, as we've discussed, are on good form under De Rossi. Milan, much maligned, but still getting the results under Pioli. So I think it'll be an interesting tie, definitely.
Yeah, on Pioli, I think his points total is nearly the same at this stage as when they won the league. So I don't know what he would have to grumble about. But yeah, no, it looks, that should be a good game, hopefully a good advert for Serie A. And finally, I mean, the Farmers League gets its chance against the elite. Have Atalanta got any chance against Liverpool?
Yeah, I think they've got a chance. But, I mean, I definitely think they're not the favourites in that because Liverpool are obviously good, having a good season this year. But if Manchester United can beat you, then, you know, you can't be that good, I think.
That's a true point. And also, I think always with these things is that, you know, there are other priorities. I think if Liverpool are still in a three-way fight for the Premier League title, then a Europa League tie with Atalanta could potentially be one that they underestimate and play Joe Gomez and give Atalanta a chance, because Atalanta are a good unit.
But I suppose Atalanta as well will have their own, you know, arguably they want to get Champions League spots, so maybe that's what they'll be focusing on as well. But the Europa League obviously is still very important in relation to that as well. So, I don't know. I think it'll be a good game. I think Atalanta are a good team, and Liverpool, yes, are a very good team this season. So hopefully Atalanta will give them a good game.
Do themselves justice, yeah. I think, would be the thing. I think, you know, it can be a tough wee place to go, Bergamo. There's good crowd in there. So, yeah, hopefully two good ties in that one as well. Enough of this Serie A chit-chat, though. People want to get to the nitty-gritty of Serie B. And, I mean, I have to say, Marco, I've been praying that we could Italianise Gioele Poggipalo and get him in playing up front for the Nazionale, because what form he's in. But take it away.
Well, the first goal he scored on Friday night was a header. It was nearly at the edge of the box, and it was a header that was more powerful than a lot of people's shots. And then his second one was a nice finish with outside his boot. He could have scored, and had another couple of great chances as well. So he is on phenomenal form. I honestly think, I'm slightly worried now for next season, because I think he is a player that is a good, he just is a good striker. He could move to a Serie A club or someone in the Premier League or whatever and do a decent job for them. So I think there might be difficulty holding on to him next season. Obviously, to do that, we have to have any chance of that, we have to get promoted, I would say.
And get extra beer.
Yes, and get extra beer. That's the only thing that others may not be able to offer him, beer at pitch side. But Friday's game, obviously very tough going to Palermo, who... besides stadium, Venezia,
stadium looked amazing.
Yeah, the stadium was
the atmosphere was amazing.
And aside from us, the top goal scorers, I think, and we absolutely wiped the floor with them. Like it was our best performance of the season. It was complete domination. And the commentator on Mola TV said at one point, it's like a boxer trying to land a punch. And it was like that. It was this, like, we could have scored easily another three goals. And we just had periods where we just passed the ball around them and they just couldn't touch it. So, it was one of the most heartening performances. And then it was followed up, of course, by Cremonese getting thumped the next day. So, keeping us in second position, which was very important. But I think in a way it's maybe a shame that this international break is coming when it is, because we seem to be hitting very good form just now. It would be nice to open a little bit of daylight if we can. But, I'll take where we are with eight games to go for sure.
Yeah, definitely. No, I didn't watch the whole game, but the highlights suggest that you're not lying when you say that it was a dominant performance, because it just seemed to be a constant kind of barrage of shots at the Palermo goal. They seemed to come into a wee bit more in the second half, but the job was done by then, and your man is just in, he's had these runs of form before, mm-hmm. but this is coming, as you say, at a great time, and you just hope that it continues post the international break, because he looks like a man that could be playing at a higher level. For your sake, I hope that's with Venezia.
I hope so.
But you know, it's definitely. I mean, the other you flagged up really the other standout result of the weekend to me was Sud Tirol beating Cremonese, because Cremonese been on a run, but we know that Sud Tirol are a team that like to surprise, and they did. And Sampdoria also beating your victims of a week ago, Barry, and moving up to seventh place. So suddenly they've sneaked in, because the nature of Serie B is such that, you know, in a way, fair play to them that they've kept the faith in Pirlo, and it seems to be producing the goods, and they could sneak up through the playoff door. Before we finish up, Marco, I wanted to have a quick word. I noticed you were going full Rigori podcast on your Twitter this week, as you said, what is the point of Zaniolo, only to inspire him to score a goal at the weekend? Yeah, I don't know if you saw. What is this man doing in the Italy squad?
I stand by what I said, by the way.
Good. I like, at least if you've, even if you're wrong, I think you should stand by your conviction. But Italy got, two glamour friendlies coming up in the international break against Venezuela and Ecuador, traveling to the US. I'm presuming they hope to somebody be going with a van load of Italy gear in the back of the van to sell at these games, I suppose, and keep the Federazione afloat. What did you make of the squad? What caught your eye? Anybody you think should be in it?
We
know someone you think shouldn't be in it.
I just don't know why he's still there, to be honest. Like, especially, to me, Spalletti seems to have forgotten about Gnonto, which seems odd to me, because Gnonto, he didn't start well at Leeds. He obviously didn't want to be there, but he has hit form recently. He has done it for Italy as well, unlike Zaniolo, you know. So, and personally, I would rather have, and you know, he plays out wide like Zaniolo does and all that sort of stuff. So I think I would rather have him in there. Zaccagni's a player that I'm never that convinced about. I think he thinks he's better than he is, but you know, we're limited in options. Interesting to see Luca there. We need to find a striker. He could be the man. You know, some players can flourish for the national team.
He offers something different as well. I think we don't have that big target, so he could. It's interesting you've picked out the players. That do you think that maybe he's wanting to kind of show that he's, I wonder if he's putting out an olive branch to call these players, are players that were Mancini banished for kind of disciplinary reasons. Locatelli as well, he fell out with him. He's in the squad. Zaccagni, Zaniolo, these were all players that he kind of reached the end of his tether, and I don't know if Spalletti sort of wanted to say, you know, it's a clean slate, I'll let you in. The ones that caught my eye were, I mean, much touted, or at least once anyway, by the podcast, Bellanova from Toro, who's had a great season. But I would like to see him get some game time. And I'm also quite excited to see Folaruncio if he gets a crack as well, because he's had a good season. You know, Verona, if they stay up, it's a absolute miracle, because they kind of divested themselves of all their best players in January, and he would definitely be a big part of that. So be interested to see if he can get, and I don't see why they wouldn't all get some game time, really. You know, I mean, even the Cambiaso, all the kind of
younger,
you would hope
that
play
that
faces
is going to get
would get some. And the other thing, watching the weekend's games, I mean, and we have said it before, but it bears saying again, what a crop of goalkeepers Italy's got at the moment. Because I was watching the highlights from the weekend, Falcone doing wonder stuff, Caprile as well, you know, Di Gregorio's had a great season at Monza, and none of them are in the squad, you know what I mean? The names that are there are all good names. Donnarumma, obviously, but, you know, Meret, Vicario, Carnesecchi. It's just an astonishing time for... Well, if only we could convert some of the strikers, and, you know, because we've got about seven or eight, I would argue, quality goalkeepers.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, interesting that you bring up Monza there, because, you know, Colpani's not there, and you mentioned him, even Maldini has started scoring goals. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if they can sort of try and push their way into towards the squad as well. Orsolini, I think, deserves to be there on the basis of his season, and I would love. He's always a player I've quite liked, and I would love for him to be able to be able to push on and do it for the national team as well. I think you know, overall it's a decent squad. It's what it's roughly I think what we've got to work with essentially, and we all know that when push comes to shove, we need like players like Chiesa to be fit and in form and if we're really wanting to do something. But it'll be interesting to see, as you see, some of these new players and see how they can slot in as well.
Yeah, you have to hope that some of them are going to be, you know, the future backbone, because we have lost a lot of the elder statesmen, if you will, and this is obviously a chance to experiment, and you want to see now these young, but I mean, Udoji is a man that you've spoken highly of, and I think he can bring a lot, certainly in an attacking sense, to the Italy team as well. So, you know, there are, I love Scalvini, so I think he's really, really
and
nice.
And if we get a penalty, we know Acerbi can take one at least.
Yes, that's true as well. Yeah, that's true. Thank goodness for that. That's a sore point for Fiorentina fans, the penalty taking at the moment, because we managed to find nobody that can take a penalty anymore. So yes, an important skill if we need it, and it could be needed. But no, it's an interesting squad. As I say, I mean, I made light of the, not making light of the opposition in terms of its quality. There'd be decent teams. It's a curious thing to do in a Euros. It's, you know, I mean, unless he's got, as I say, it smacks more of marketing than actual preparation for the Euros. But however, you know, you've got to beggars can't be choosers. I think international managers have to make do with so many kind of competing demands on their team that, you know, he's just got to take this opportunity to do the best he can to, again, imprint the Spalletti style on the team, and hope that he unearths a few more gems in that process that can lift Italy back to where they want to be. Anyway, we've probably rambled on enough for another week. Just to let listeners know, and let all your friends know, and let everybody you know that we won't be back next week. We take a well-earned break in a darkened room with a large Negroni while the international games are on, and then return having sobered up and splashed a bit of cold water on our faces. We'll be back, but it is Easter weekend, so it will actually be a plan, such as it is at the moment, is to record on the Easter Monday, which is also April Fool's Day, which some might find appropriate given the hosts of this show. So set your alarm, set your email reminder, set everything, you know, to get that. But in the meantime, let people know how wonderful this edition was, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time.
Speak to you then.